God is good. I also want to give a shout out to all of those who are watching us on the live stream and our launch at Living Faith Spokane, a satellite church up there. So we say hi to all of you and pray that you will be blessed as well. We're excited to connect more as the time goes by as well. But we're going to have a good time together. And I know for some of you that are brand new, it is an interesting time when you make a new move, a new community, a new job, a new school, a new church, new friends. All of those things are very, very difficult. They can be very nerve-wracking as well as adventuresome. We want to help you with the adventure part, relieve you of the nervousness, and allow you to be connected into a new community, a new place, with people that love you and care about you and have concern for you, and allow you to experience a God and hopefully a deeper and a continuing more fulfilling way. When I think about this type of year, I've entitled the message that, what was God thinking? What was God thinking? When I think about students who come and I think about us in the world and when we turn on the TV program and all that we're at, there is a battle over our mind. There is a battle over what we're thinking. What we're thinking, what's going into our mind, because what goes into our mind affects the processes of what we do. What we think determines how we're going to live. And so we need to make sure that we're putting the right stuff inside of our minds. Because the school here, the school year, they're trying to put things into your mind that will help you for your career, for your future. And that's amazing. But also what you leave here with is going to determine the rest of your life. How you think, how you move, how you determine things. I need to start here. I need a couple of, volunteers. I need a new person. Do I have a new person? I need a new girl right there with the glasses. Is there a guy here? A new guy. Is there any new guy here? Do we have anybody here that's new? Right here. Oh, come on over here then. I guess we've already got him. I mean, people are anxious around here. All right. Come on up here. You guys know each other?
No.
Oh, okay. What was your name?
Rafina?
Yeah. Oh, what a beautiful name. Nice to meet you. I'm Phil. I'm the pastor here.
I'm Jason.
Jason, nice to meet you. Have you met her?
No.
Give her a handshake.
Nice to meet you.
Give her a hug. Say, hey, God bless you. Okay, That's enough. Enough's enough. Don't get too much there. That's too much. Oh, what year are you?
Freshman.
What year are you?
Freshman.
Oh, you have that in common. By the way, do you drink coffee?
Yeah.
Do you drink coffee?
Sometimes.
Do you? Okay, so you kind of have that in common too.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have some coffee here, and I'm going to pour some coffee for the both of you.
Thank
Do you like it with sugar or a bunch of junk in it and all of that stuff in there?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to take this and pour some coffee. Oh, look at it. It's nice and hot. Wonderful. I got an extra cup here. Is there anybody else out there that really is out there and you are saying, I need a cup of coffee? If you do, please come up here. If you need a cup of coffee, come on up here. I'll pour one more for anybody. I see Curtis out there. He probably needs a cup of coffee. So I've got coffee here and you can kind of doctor it up here. So I have all those. Oh, and I also have this here. I have some mortar oil. I just want to pour that in there. It actually looks very similar. So, and you can also put any, if you need to put any sugar or any of this vanilla, French vanilla, things like that, you can put that in there as well. So I just want you to close your eyes and pick one, okay? I want you to come over here. No, you don't have to close your eyes. I'm just, oh yeah, go ahead. He wants a refill over here. Hey, no problem, no problem. No shame. Hey, listen, we're here to serve you, man. If you need something, you need some, put a little of that in there. Go ahead, go ahead. Anybody else need anything? If you need something, come on up here. Woo. We have a donut for anybody. Do you guys want a donut?
Sure.
Do we have donuts? I think we have it. Can somebody get me a donut? Get me a donut. We want to get donut. Are you going to put that in there? Are you going to put anything in yours?
Yes.
Okay.
What is this, French?
Yeah, French. Yeah, oh, French vanilla. Yes, good. And I have this other one here for anybody who's just has the urge, a little shaky right now. If you need a little coffee, a little something. Okay. Oh, we didn't open it yet. Here, cool. All right. Go ahead and put Just put that right in there. Put that in there. It's a good way to get people so they won't come back to church. So now, we've got coffee, we've got it black, we've got it doctored up, we've got it French vanilla. Oh, put it back here. We got to put it down.
Okay, all right, there we go.
Okay. And my question is this. If you're going to pick one of these, which one would you pick?
The one that I made.
The one that you made. Oh, here. You need a donut?
No, thank you.
You sure? Okay, good. All right. Anybody else need a donut? If you want a donut, come on up here. Anybody, if you want a donut, just run up here. No shame, no fear, no foul. My question is this. Here's coffee. You want this one? Oh, okay. Good for you. Give me five, dude. All right, man. He did what every grown-up wants to do, but is afraid to do, other than Andy. So, my question, though, is why don't you want this?
It's unhealthy.
It looks the same.
It's unhealthy.
Why is it unhealthy?
Okay, that's better.
Yeah, that's better. Would this hurt you? Do you think if you put that in, it will lubricate your
exactly.
chest and you can go 3,000 miles if
probably
you...
Probably not. Probably immediately into hospital.
Probably My question is, why don't we... It looks the same. Why don't we put this? Why don't we pour a good dose of oil every morning? Because it won't do good for us, right? In the same way... that we would never think about pouring mortar oil, even though it looks like coffee. And I could put some things in there to get it to smell like coffee. Sure. But you know what? It ain't coffee, right? It's something different. Your mind, there's a battle for your mind. There's a... By the way, what are you doing afterwards?
After service?
Yeah.
Nothing.
What are you doing?
I'm going to go to the connection back there.
You're going to go to the connection back to get a donut?
Yeah.
Why don't you invite her and see if she'd like to go back there with
you?
Like
to come back afterwards? Get
sure.
a donut?
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Why don't you guys go ahead and...
Thank you.
You can go and sit down now. Give him a hand, everybody. Yes. Oh, yeah. Girls say no. Guys say more. Yes. All right. You never know. You could be lifelong friends. Maybe... Anyway, who knows? My thought is this. There is a battle for your mind, and we are not thinking about what we're putting into our minds. We're not thinking about what people are putting into our minds. I could sit here and talk to you and tell you the benefits of putting motor oil inside of your body and all of that and get you to try it and to taste it, but you realize, no, but there are other things that we put into our mind that people say are truth, that say are reality, that say the things that are the basis of what you should think from, but they will not help you, they will hurt you, they will destroy you spiritually in the same way motor oil would destroy you internally physically. And we must, as Christians, we must, as people who love God, think like He thinks. What was God thinking? What are we putting into our mind when we turn on the TV set? What are we putting into our mind when we turn on the computer? What are we turning into our mind when we open up the newspaper? What are we putting into our mind when we dialogue with other people? What things are we putting into our minds that are not good for us, but we say, nah, a little bit of oil won't hurt you. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. The same thing happens with our minds. It happens on a day-to-day basis. There's a battle for what goes into your mind. And if you're not aware of the battle, you are taking in so much oil that you are unaware of, unless you know that there's a battle. There's a battle taking place. What you leave from school will determine who you are. Make sure you add God to your curriculum. Make sure you add God to the way you think, to the things that come inside. And that's why every Sunday we're going to cook up stuff for you that will help you think, help you grow, help you change, help you know God more, so that you can think and navigate better through life, because we have the fountain and the author of life residing inside of us, and we're following His instructions. The Bible says, my children perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know all the great things I have for them that I want to place inside of their mind. And every Sunday, we want to cook up something for you to put inside that will help you in the battle to change your life. We need to make sure that we're thinking the way God thinks. How does he think? I love it. My kids, when they were young, and one of them, well, they all did. I have three children. One in the lights up there, working with the lights. One in the sound is doing the sound up there. Tommy, my son-in-law, is married to my daughter. He's one of the worship leaders up here. They work with college students or with young marrieds. I have 10 grandchildren, which is pretty cool. But when I think about my kids when they were younger, they would do some really stupid things. Remember when you were a kid, stupid things? And I remember coming in and I would say this, and can you? You didn't even see my notes. What did I say to you guys?
It was for crying out loud, Creighton, and it was good Lord, Christian.
Yes, crying out loud, Creighton. Good Lord, Christian. And then, what would I say after that?
What were you thinking?
What were you thinking? Apparently, nothing. Apparently, nothing. And I started thinking about this, and we were up in a meeting, and I was talking with Tommy and Catania, and they were talking about their kids, and they were talking about Joey. Joey is one of my grandkids, one of the 10, precocious kid, 4 years old. He's 4 years old, and he's an awesome kid, yes. He's an early riser, gets up before anybody else, and when he gets up before everybody else, usually something happens. And one morning he got out there, he took the wire brush, and he went out to the car. And they call their car Patrick because it's a green car. They have a little Irish blood in them, so they call the car Patrick. And he goes, Mommy, Daddy, I brushed Patrick's hair today. Well, thank you, son. That was awesome. And then the one that really got me was this one. They got up one morning, and okay, the morning before, Tommy had, there was a bunch of problems with some slugs. And you know, if you pour salt on a slug, it just kind of dissolves. Okay, I know for some people going, oh, that's gross. You put salt on a slug, and it gets rid of them. It dissolves them. So Tommy opens up the front door where he had poured the salt for the slug the night before. He opens it up, and there's Joey on his hands and knees, and he's down licking up the salt. That has been now, a flavor has been added that has been melted into the salt. There's no more slug. There's just slug juice and salt. And he's there licking. He licked it up. And Katani was so funny. She comes out and she says this. She sees him and she goes, I need to live in a world where that just didn't happen. Take me to another world where this doesn't happen. Joey has done so many amazing things. He's a pretty precocious kid. He's a pretty fun kid. I love him to death. I love all my grandkids, all 10 of them, and they're a lot of fun. But sometimes, what were you thinking? I'm sure God a lot of times is, if he were coming to you, what were you thinking? What were you thinking, Christian? What were you doing here? God thinks. He thinks. We were created in his image and his likeness so that we could think like him. But how does God think? How does God think? And what was he thinking about when he created man? You ever thought that? What was he thinking about when he created man? What was God thinking when he creates the universe? Genesis 1. He's creating the universe. I mean, so many spectacular things in the universe that he created. Amazing. And then he creates the earth and everything that's in it. All of the beautiful things. He creates all of the wonderful and awesome sceneries and beautiful things. Click through them real quickly there. Some of the fun things that he created there. Beautiful scenery. Beautiful effects. Beautiful things that God has created. And finally, he creates mankind. Finally, he creates man. Man, what was he thinking? What was he thinking during all of that when he created the universe? When he created all of the beautiful scenery? And then when he created man? You know what he's thinking? He says it in the Bible. 6 times he says, wow, this is good. This is good. In Genesis 1:31, the 7th time he creates all this, he says this, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. It was very good. What was he thinking? He was thinking, wow, this is very good. I like it. He was thinking, dang, I'm good. Hashtag humble brag. I mean, he was thinking, darn, I'm good. I'm really good. No brag, just fact. God creates all of that. He liked Adam and Eve. He loved them. Very good. And then he says this. I'm going to give you one instruction. Only one thing. Do whatever you want. Except one thing. Now, think about it. They only had one exception. We have a lot of them. They only had one exception. One thing don't do. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. Just don't do that. There was nothing. I did a lot of research on this tree, and there are a lot of thoughts about what this tree was. But a lot of people say it probably wasn't anything special. Didn't look anything different. Had some fruit on it of some sort. But it probably looked like everything else that was out there. It wasn't anything different. Just kind of an ordinary, if you will, tree. But he just said, don't. Most of you know the story. They didn't don't, they did. God says don't, and they did. And when they did, they felt and knew evil. They felt and knew evil. The feeling of doing something wrong. Remember that feeling when you did, you go, uh-oh. It ain't right here. You're looking to see if anybody's looking? Uh-oh. That's the feeling that came upon them when they ate from that tree. Now, they didn't get hives, it doesn't say. They didn't get sick and vomit. It wasn't poisonous. It didn't do any of that. It opened up something that God said, don't open it. It's like some of the emails we get. We shouldn't open them. Don't open them. Because it'll crash your computer. And you know what it did when they opened up that one? It crashed the computer. They felt evil. They felt it, what it felt like. They felt wrong. And it's interesting that God starts looking for Adam, and Adam is hiding. And God says, hey, what are you hiding for? He goes, I was afraid. First time fear enters in. First time evil starts coming up, and then now their evil brings with it fear, and then hate, and then anxiety, and then insecurity, and then pride. All of these things came rushing in when they didn't even know them at all. They were without them, just enjoying life. Only one thing they couldn't do, and that was the very thing that they did. And it changed the course of history for the rest of us. For eternity. What was God thinking? Okay, follow this with me. What was God thinking? Why did he put it there in the first place? God, why did you put the tree there in the first place? It's like taking your drawer, we were talking about this, like taking the drawer of all your sharp knives, sharpening them up, putting them in the middle of the living room, and allowing all your children who are around there from ages of, let's say, 1 to 7, and say, hey, don't touch any of the knives in the middle of the floor. God, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Why the tree? Why did you put it there? Why this, Lord? I give you 4 thoughts. Number one, to see if man would obey him. Just to see. Would you do what I say? I remember once as a college student, I just got saved. I was not a very good person, and then I got radically saved in college. So that's why I love college students. I love this time of life. I got radically saved then. And I remember as I was just walking with the Lord, I was talking with him and I'd chat about him with about stuff and so on. I'm having a dialogue with him. And I went up one day, and I didn't do it very often, but I love Snickers bars. So I went up and I started to take some money out and I was going to put it in the thing for a Snickers bar. And I felt in my spirit something that said, no. And I go, why not? Because I said no. Well, why are you saying no? Do I look fat? How do I look in these jeans? Okay. I was playing football back then, so I was actually in shape, okay? So I was in good shape in college. It's fallen away, but that's the curse of the fall. But I remember going to put it in, and God, I felt in my spirit, no. And I'm going, why? And I'm having this debate, and the guy's behind me like, hey, dude, are you going to put the nickel in, or what are you going to do, dude? Oh, excuse me. And I had to back away, and I'm sitting there with the money in my hand, the ability, and I start to rationalize, and I start to think, and I go, you know what? I'm just thinking here, and I'm going, what's wrong with the candy bar? It's not that unhealthy. I'm actually underweight for what I should be playing football. I could weigh more. I need to beef up. And I started to rationalize out why it was okay. Ever done that? You start thinking, you feel something, an urge in your heart that says no. And then you start in your mind thinking, rationalizing, using your brain, that mind, and you start figuring out why wouldn't it be okay? Why wouldn't it be okay? I think what's wrong with... The issue was this. Afterwards, I felt the Lord, as I was trying to dialogue this with him, why? What's the big deal? He goes, I just want to know, will you do what I ask you to do? Will you obey my word? There's nothing to do with that. I think the tree, honestly, I don't know if there was anything inherent in the tree. He just picked one and said, hey. And I know this is conjecture, but... Hey, don't, to see if we did, to see if we would obey him and say no to ourselves and yes to God. So why did he put the tree? Why the tree? To see if man would obey him. Secondly, to see if man would trust him. Their rationale versus God's word, we rationalize things out. I'll tell you what, any sin that we do, anything that we fall away from, we rationalize out why it's okay. We think how it could be okay rather than, Lord, how are you thinking about this? What do you think? What do you say? Number three, to see if man would submit to him, if they would do their own thing or if they would do God's thing. Oh, okay, Pastor. So I see what you're saying here. So if God wouldn't have put it there, the tree in the midst of the garden, Adam and Eve wouldn't have eaten it. I'm using my brain, thinking this through. And we wouldn't be in this mess today then if they wouldn't have eaten it. If it wouldn't have been there, they wouldn't have eaten it. So really, sin is really God's fault for putting it there. So blame it all on God. And that's my final point. God bless you. You're dismissed. No, 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 no. It's not God's fault. We think sometimes, but God, why did you bump, bump, bump? God, why did you bump, bump, bump? But God, why? But if it wouldn't have, then I wouldn't have. God blessed you with a thing called free will. And that's the fourth point. To see how man would use his free will. How would you use it? In order to use it, you have to have a choice. So God gave us a choice. You can choose. Choose this day whom you will serve. Good, evil, righteousness, unrighteousness, sin, or God's way. To see how we would use our free will. What was God thinking? He was thinking, if they really love me, they will choose freely to obey, trust, and submit to me. So why does he give us free will? If we didn't have free will, we would not be created in the image of God, because God has ultimate free will. So why didn't he just make us robots? Why didn't he just make us do what we... Why? Because we're made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. And God has ultimate free will. He can do whatever the heaven he wants. God can do anything, whatever the heaven he wants. And here's the question. What are you doing with your free will? What are you doing with your free will? Whatever the, pardon the expression, whatever the hell you want, or whatever the heaven God wants. What are we doing with our free will today? Because he's saying 4 points that were on that tree. The result of that tree are the same 4 points today. But Jesus did something on another tree to allow those 4 points to be more readily accepted by us. Because at the beginning of creation, there was a tree. And 4,000 years later, there was another tree that Jesus Christ died on to redeem all of the heirs of what happened on that first tree. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for that tree. What are you doing with your free will? The devil told them if they would eat of it, they would be like God. If you eat of this tree, you'll be like God. But they were already like God. They didn't have to eat from it to be like God. They already were. They were created in his image. The devil lies. He uses half-truths. He tries to confuse us. He tries to get us to rationalize with our minds. That's why we need to be in the Word every day. That's why we need to be fed by a church. And I would encourage you, if you're new, get planted in a church somewhere. Get planted so you can hear the Word. You can grow. You can be nourished. You can be fed. You can be challenged. You can walk out of there going, oh, man, that bothered me what he said. But it was right. I need to change some things. We need the truth, and we need it every day. If not, we'll get confused by half-truths, which the devil loves to use all of the time. We need to be in the truth. We need to be fed by a church so we know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Amen. Help us discern truth, to grow in the truth. The devil told them they would get something they already had. Oh, you'll be like God. Hey, dude, I've already got that. It's like coming up to somebody and going, hey, I know you got $1 million, but I'll give you 20 if you, hey, dude, I already got $1 million. I've already got it. I don't have to go get it. I've already got it. Actually, the devil lied. They would not be more like God if they ate. They would be more like him if they ate. They wouldn't be more like God if they ate from the tree. They'd be more like the devil if they ate from the tree. A little liar. I hate him. I hate him. Liar, liar, pants on fire. He's just a big liar. I hate him. I don't like him. He's messed people up. Half-truths. They start to believe. They get in their mind. They start getting stuff, and they base the rest of their life on a half-truth and get to the end and find out, whoa, I've been lied to. I hate him. I want to speak the truth. I want to speak against him. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. I want to motivate you. I want to provoke you to good works. I want to provoke you to this God who loves you so much, that has so much for you, but we've got to appropriate it into our life. Good. The tests are still today. These four qualities, obey, trust, submit with your free will, are today. Yeah. You know, my wife, she loves every once in a while be doing something, and she'll go, honey, what are you thinking? And I go, nothing. How many guys have ever done that? Okay. If you ask a woman that, you don't ask a woman that. Hey, what were you thinking? Okay, I was gone after two. I was gone after the second point. Okay, well, I can't keep all these points in my head. I have no idea. You lost me at two. And men, you know, we can't even come up with one. What are you thinking? I don't know. That will never happen with God. God, what were you thinking? I'll tell you what, he thinks a lot. He's never thinking nothing. He's always thinking something. He's thinking something good. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. This is God, what he thinks about you. What was he thinking? He was thinking of how much he loves you, how much he cares about you, how awesome you are. Here's what he's thinking. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. For good and for not bad. I know you unleashed bad when you opened up that tree, when you ate from it. It just came into the world. But I have a vision for you of good, not bad. To give you a future and a hope. I have a destiny for you. I have great things in store for you. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and will listen, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, the Lord says. He says, because he's thinking all these great thoughts, he says, I'm thinking good things. So, hey, call me. Hey, I'm thinking about you. Call me. Oh, you didn't call me. So he's calling you on your phone. Oh, it's God again. He puts one of those, I'm in a class. I'm in a meeting. I'm not where I should be. If we were to look at your call log, how long has it been since you had a great chat, talk with God, this one who loves you so much? Is he on your favorites list? He wants to chat with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to gauge with you. He loves you. And here's my observation. God thinks positively about you. God thinks positively about you. Have you messed up? Yeah. Have you made mistakes? Yeah. Have you sinned? Yeah. Have you done it all? Yeah. And you know what? He thinks positively about you.
Good.
He gives you the benefit of the doubt, unlike what we do sometimes. In Psalm 139, 17 through 18, it says this, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. Not how angered are your thoughts to me. He doesn't have your picture on a bulletin board someplace and he's throwing darts at it. He didn't color your eyes in and make you look cross-eyed and have funny hair and a weird smile and grow a goatee on you down to here and then throw darts at you and go, He says, precious. His thoughts are, dude, it's good. I created you. It's good. It's very good. It's very, oh, I love you. All the thoughts I have for you are precious. How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they'd be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. Three thoughts about this scripture. His thoughts about you, number one, are precious. The word yakar is the Hebrew word. It means to be heavy, to be valuable, to make rare, precious, prized. That's what you are. You're his prize. You're valuable to God. You're rare. That's what he's thinking. God, what were you thinking?
I'm thinking about when I can destroy them.
No. I'm thinking great thoughts. Secondly, his thoughts, not only are they precious, they're abundant. They're more in number than the sand. Think about his thoughts. Think about a grain of sand. Here's God thinking about you. Each thought is a grain of sand. Each thought is a grain of sand, and he's thinking about you. Each thought. Come over here. Tommy, wet your finger. Like that. Put your finger on the sand. Okay, here. You, here. Wet your finger. Put on the sand. Wet your finger. Put on the sand. Okay. You know the drill. Okay. Oh, wow. You got a lot of thoughts. All right. Now, count those. We'll just wait for you guys. Just go ahead and start counting those. Can you count them for me? Count them.
One.
How many? Are they very big? They're kind of small, aren't they? They're okay. Well, let me do you a little help because it's very difficult to understand how many thoughts that he has toward us. And I did a little research here. I put, they said if you assume that a grain of sand has the average size and you calculate all this, that the earth, and figure how much is in a teaspoon, they figure there's roughly about 30,000 granules, grains of sand in a teaspoon. And if you figured out all of the sand in the earth, at least on the earth and on the beaches in the desert, there's 7.5 times 10 to the 18th grains of sand, or 7 quintrillion, 500 quadrillion grains of sand. Okay, that's a lot of sand. I want a number when we get done. So are you, no, I'm just kidding. They're looking at me going, dude, we're not coming back. If you live to be 90, 365 days in a year, 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in a minute, that's 2,800,000,000 seconds you're going to be on this earth. That means that God thinks, take those divided by the number of seconds you're alive. God thinks 2 billion, what is it? Do you have that? 2,642,400. That number up there. As a math major. That's big! That's huge! Per second! That's how many thoughts he has to go through his mind about you every second! And they're all good. Now that's a lot of thoughts. That's a lot of thoughts that is going through God's mind. You know what? If I poured all of this in here, and all of this in here, I know what I'm doing after the service. Somebody's not thinking good thoughts about me right now. Multiply this by 1,000. That's how many grains of sand per second that God would have to think about you in your lifetime. Here's my observation. God thinks about you a lot. Duh. Thirdly, and think about it, he's got 7 billion people to think about. And then he's got a universe to think about. I mean, the guy, no wonder he's going, hey, what are you thinking? Not nothing. Got a lot of thinking going on. Number three, it's permanent. When I awake, I am still with you. It's permanent. He's not fickle. He's not going anywhere. When you wake up, regardless, he is still there. In Psalm 92:5, it says, oh, Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. He's a deep thinker. He's a deep thinker. He thinks a lot. If you think you can outthink God, you're not going to do it. He's thought it through. He understands it. Well, now, I think a better way to do it would have been, let me tell you what, he's been there, done that. He knows what he's doing. You can't outthink him. Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. And my observation here is what I'm going to get into next week. God naturally thinks differently than we do. But he wants us to think the same. So what must we do to think accurately, completely, clearly about everything the way God does? Let me conclude with this. How does God think? How does God think? We a lot of times think with hurt, fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, insecurity, uncertainty, pain, hate, insufficient data. All of these have a profound impact on our thoughts and the way we think. God doesn't think like that. All those elements that are detrimental effects to us do not affect him in his thinking and his clarity of what he does. God doesn't go, oh no, oh no, something happened, they did some things down there, I wasn't aware of that, I'm a little worried, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Okay, I've got it back under control now. God doesn't breathe through a paper bag to get his anxiety level down. It never goes up. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all the time. Always in control, always in charge, always knowing what's going on, always thinking clearly, correctly, and rightly. And if you ask him, you get the best wisdom you could possibly ever get in life. God thinks abundance. God thinks possibility. God thinks positive. God thinks forgiveness. God thinks freedom from oppression. God thinks restoration. God thinks favor. God thinks good news. What was God thinking? He was thinking about you and how he could bless you. He was thinking about your move to Pullman, you new folks, and what you'd need, how it would go, the anxiousness you'd feel, the worry, who you connect with, where your friends be, where we find a church. He thought of those things. He cares about you. What was he thinking? He's thinking about you, his son, his daughter, and what he can do to bless you, to help you, to encourage you, to enjoy being a son or a daughter. What was God thinking? Oh, a lot of things. Because you're important to him. Not throwing darts. Sending thoughts of how wonderful you are. Next week, knowing how God thinks, how should we think? Remember, there's a battle for your mind. And with that battle and the trickery that happens, how are you supposed to think? Because what you allow into your mind and into your thinking will determine who you will be at 90 years of age. Let's think his thoughts. Lord, you're amazing. Thank you, and all the things I've botched up, you still think good of me. I've messed up a bunch. But God, I'm so thankful that you think forgiveness. You think possibilities. What could I do with this wretched guy? What could I do with a guy who has sinned so much? Oh God, help us. Help us to think like you think, that we might walk, act, and talk like you do, Lord. Bless all these wonderful folks, Lord. I pray for their week, Lord, as they go about it, that you'd make them aware of what's going into their mind, and that you would also remind them of the great and wonderful thoughts that you're thinking about them. And Lord, I look forward to seeing them next week. Bless them now, Lord, abundantly. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Everybody said, amen. If you don't know Jesus, come on up here. We'll pray for you that you receive Christ. If you need to rededicate your life, come on up here. We'll get you back on track. If you need to talk about how you're thinking, these altars are open to come up and chat with him. If you need prayer for anything, come on up here. We'll pray for you. We're a church that loves people. You're not an inconvenience. You're the greatest thing that happens in this place. And we celebrate it every Sunday as we celebrate Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Afterwards, there's going to be reception back out. We normally do it outside because of the smoke. We're going to do it over in that area there. Donuts and all that. If you're new with us, please go on back there, grab a donut, and chat a little bit, and then be dismissed. Love you guys tons. I consider it a privilege to get up here every Sunday and to address such a great and wonderful people. God bless you this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you're dismissed.